The Ministry of Education is reforming the education system, shifting the responsibilities of principals and Board of Trustees. This will replace the self-governing regime created in 1989 and give more power to the New Zealand Education Service Agency. This will include changes to how enrolment schemes are set up in regards to zoning, along with buildings and maintenance. School boards will still have authority to appoint principals and staff, determine suspension and expulsions, and their own financial donation policies. Independent panels will be set up to hear complaints about school. There will also be a focus on tikanga Māori in the classroom, with a workforce strategy aimed to prioritise the use of te reo Māori. The task force report says it will better support Māori students and their whānau. I spoke to Penn Bird, the principal of Te Kura Kaupapa Māori, Motuhake o Taowhio, who was still hesitant the reforms will address the needs of Māori students.
I was 100% anti first time round. I'm more frozen. I was. There's still some questions, some major issues that need to be answered.
Mm. What kind of questions do you think that...
Well, first of all, it's trying for community control. Mana Motuhake, as we call it. We're totally satisfied with that. Putting property for the ministry, unless there's guided by principles around equity, for example, there's some schools with greater need than others. And that'll be unless that's in there, then that'll be zilch. That'll mean zilch for us. The biggest issues that the minister has to confront are those of underachievement by Māori and Pacifica. That's structural as well as cultural. Research shows that's because racism exists in schools. That's the big issue. Those ones are there. The people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds areas are in fact the issues that he needs to focus on. Why is it that children who go to school supposedly to be educated, to learn, to build them, to build character, leave there broken people? And I'm in direct reference to the mismatch the schools are for Māori and Pacifica. So those are the issues for me. Equity and racism. Unconscious bias, she calls it, meaning it's so natural and normal. It's part of the way we live and breathe, and it's that endemic. It's part of who we are, and I kind of like that term. So those are the big issues. And plus, the other big thing too is we need a vision for Aotearoa. What is the vision? What are we aspiring to? Let's have a conversation about what that is.
What do you say in response to Calvin Davis's, I've just got a press release from him saying that it would improve better outcomes for Māori learners and their whānau?
Well, he's going to have to support that, isn't he, the government?
What framework would you like to see in terms of schools to better support our Māori students?
Oh, by cultural bilingual framework. Teachers that come out, they're better trained to do their job, they're culturally attuned and culturally inclusive. That one. See, what's Māori about the system at the moment? Well, the brown faces of the kids.
What structural reforms would you like to see?
Well, an overhaul of the system that has achievement. This came out of the ministry 3 or 4 years ago. Enjoying educational success as Māori. And that last bit is really important. As who? Māori. So being who we are, that our identity, our language and our culture is given the same mana as Pākehā language, identity and culture. That one. Did we not sign a treaty somewhere a while ago? Has that got no mana? Well, no, it hasn't. It's time for that to steal us and guide us as we move forward. We cannot afford a conveyor belt that takes Māori potential over to the rubbish dump.
Yeah, thank you so much for your perspective.
And can I say something?
Of course.
It's not a property issue. It's not a property issue. Property is important. But I mean, we've got generations who came through shacks. Absolutely, they're now doctors and the, you know, the older ones have passed on. But I'm telling you now, the results were amazing. So thank you very much.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, what I can tell you is that we've got our own Hui Taumata Summit meeting. We, all Māori educators, coming up next year. And we're not going to stand for any crap. I was part of a movement in 1987 that put together the Matawai Declaration, which talked about a separate pathway for Māori. It went nowhere. I was part of the group that took it to Parliament. It was given the bash in less than a quarter of an hour. But every good idea has its time.
In response to criticism that the government had taken down a watered-down approach, Education Minister Chris Hipkins says there were some ideas that were still too radical. This includes the call to establish 20 hubs across the country, each responsible for the governance of 125 schools in their area. Auckland Grammar Principal Tim O'Connor commends this move not to establish these hubs, however, is still critical of the increased control from the ministry in regards to zoning and enrolment.
Look, the first thing I'd say is that the removal of the education hubs is a really good thing, because that allows schools to retain autonomy of the governance of their organisations. Our view is that should have always been the case. Criticisms of the report itself, I think overall the government has sadly failed to really present a definitive way forward for school administration or for the administration of schools, and instead has really produced another document that looks like a consultation document. And the reason I'd say that is because there are so many suggestions or work-ons that are referred to in the report. Comments like, we're seeking more advice, there is potential, there is an opportunity, we expect that. The possible roles and functions include, you know, all those things really show that the report is clumsy and effectively incomplete.
What kind of specificity would you like to see from the report?
Oh, look, what I would have liked to have seen as a final solution in this report is that schools retain their autonomy, boards retain the governance of the schools, and then the Ministry of Education or whatever organisation they want to call it oversees the performance of schools and boards, and where boards or schools need specific help or additional resourcing, that they're given it and given appropriate monitoring. In this report, you know, the first thing it's done is said that it's going to be more responsive to schools, and it's going to introduce ESAs, Education Service Agencies, and they're going to be part of a redesigned Ministry of Education that's going to be designed by the Secretary for Education. So we're just going to get the same old, aren't we?
There's one benefit that a lot of people are looking to is that the fact that zoning and enrolments will be changed, so it'll be shifted out of, the Board of Trustees and deciding that, and that's a positive thing, because the problem is, Chris Hipkins is saying that that's often manipulated by schools so that they leave out students from lower social economic regions that are closer to the school.
Oh, I don't believe that will actually be the outcome from what they're suggesting. I'm not sure that the ministry or the government actually comprehend how much work goes into monitoring a zone and implementing implementing the enrolment schemes. I mean, we have two full-time employees who are working to not only enrol students in the appropriate fashion, but to monitor that they meet all of the enrolment criteria and all priorities. Good on the government for saying we're going to centralise it, but it's going to come at a significant cost and with a lack of expertise. So all that will happen, I would suggest, is that more zone cheating will occur than has happened in the past. If the minister feels that cheating is occurring by some schools for competitive purposes, well, frankly, the Ministry of Education have the teeth to actually hold those schools or boards accountable for their poor behaviour now. So why do we need a new bureaucratic approach when actually the rules and systems are already in place? They just choose not to enact them.
Mm. So what would your suggestion be? Because currently, do we see the ministry step in when there are instances of zone cheating?
No. Well, what we see, more examples, we are tougher on zone cheats than the Ministry of Education. And the concern we would have is actually more students who go through our board enrolment committee, whose enrolments are then annulled because the board have deemed that they have not met the criteria or they have not given the correct information. More often than not, the Ministry of Education will overrule the board and redirect those students to our school. The ministry, in my view, are just actually afraid of making the tough calls and just be softly on it. I'd suggest if the ministry are going to pick up the control of enrolment schemes, we will have a haphazard approach and it'll be a free-for-all.
Just having a quick scan of just the original document, because there has been some criticism that the ministry is taking down a watered-down approach to the original task force document that was proposed. But yeah, I guess they're saying that there's a lack of public trust. And so by having it more centralised, by having it come from an external body, the public would trust more that schools are being, I guess, for example, harsh on zone cheating.
Well, we're totally accountable now, and people do go directly to the Ministry of Education or to the Ombudsman to complain if they feel that we haven't applied the enrolment scheme legislation in an appropriate fashion. It is all publicly documented, and there is no reason at all that the Ministry of Education couldn't just act now.
What do you think are some benefits, I guess, to keeping decisions local or majority of the decisions and responsibilities kept to the Board of Trustees rather than a centralised system?
Well, board members and schools know what is required for their specific school community and environment. And I'm not suggesting they shouldn't be accountable. I'm suggesting they should be thoroughly accountable. And where boards are accountable for property, property is probably the biggest thing. Enrolment schemes is the other that's coming through this report. Where they are not acting in appropriate fashion, then they should be held accountable. It's a pretty basic system to me. I don't think we need another layer of bureaucracy in order to say we're going to create higher levels of trust. This system, I'd suggest, is actually indicating that the government and the Ministry of Education don't trust schools at all. Because of the actions of a small few. My point would be to go back and say, actually do your job and take control of those schools who are not actually doing their job properly, or those boards who are not doing their job properly, and leave the rest to actually be high-performing schools.
The criticism that has come is that some schools are intensely high-performing and others are left out, and students who are disadvantaged are left out. So I guess their goal is to decrease the gap, the educational gap between these schools. And so, in your opinion, how's the best way to do that, if not from another bureaucratic system?
The way not to do that is to say, well, we're going to create an equal system by centralising things, because all that's doing is it is going to restrict the high-performing schools from doing the job that they do, and will lower the bar overall. So if we want to lower the quality of education in this country, then yeah, let's go along with what Chris Atkins' model is, because we'll see a rapid decline pretty quickly, and disinterest from people who entering the profession or picking up leadership roles. They're just going to make it more difficult and more clumsy. My point is that the simpler the system, the better. Fantastic. They have given governance back to local boards, and all we need then is to have a system where a board of trustees does not have the skills or expertise to govern at the appropriate standard. Then my view is the government would have been better off investing in people who have those skills and creating like a board of directors for education.
How do we improve that overall quality of education while making sure that there isn't such... Because I guess, is it fair to say that the current system isn't working, that there is a huge educational gap? So how do we do that?
Well, I don't know that there is a huge educational gap. I'd refute that. The statistics don't show that. The statistics actually show that the majority of schools are serving their local communities well. The fix in saying let's get the overall standard of education up in this country is by addressing those schools that are not producing the right results, or the boards are not performing or acting irresponsibly. My point is, put the resourcing into the accountabilities for specific schools rather than a one-size-fits-all model of ideological centralisation.
In response to Tim O'Connor that there is no disparity in New Zealand's education, UNICEF released a report last year which ranked Aotearoa 33 out of 38 for educational inequality across preschools, primary schools and secondary school levels in the OECD. 60% of students also experience bullying either weekly or monthly. Māori and Pacifica students were also less likely to receive the same opportunities compared to Pākehā and Asian children, as they were disproportionately affected by financial and material hardship. Children with parents in professional jobs also more likely to continue into higher education. These were just some of the findings from the UNICEF report.